Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Here we go. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Denise Statz from Non-Essentials here in Palmer. Welcome, Denise.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. You know, I think that we're probably going to talk about, well, there's so much to talk about at Non-Essentials, mm-hmm. but I also want to touch base a little bit about your farmstead as well. But I always start the show with asking my guests about how they got to Alaska and how they got connected to agriculture. So in your sense, how did you decide that sourcing so many local products in your store was important? But let's start with how you got here.
Well, that's an easy one. I was born at Kinakinak in Dillingham.
Yeah.
In 1957. And I'm actually, what would I be? I guess I would be a third generation Alaskan.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. How'd you get to Palmer?
My folks had moved here and they came to an age when it was just important for me to be in town. I had worked in medicine for many years in rural Alaska.
Okay.
And it just came a time to be here and to be available to them.
Yeah. So they had come to Palmer specifically?
Yep. Oh, my dad was a pilot, and he decided that he wanted to be where the wind didn't blow, so he moved to the Butte.
Oh, I was going to say, Wait a minute.
I know. Right?
The wind blows plenty in Palmer. People from my hometown always joke about that when I complain about the wind, because I grew up right on the ocean on the southern Oregon coast, and we get big wind there, but nothing like the winds that we get here in Palmer. It's just something
different.
Well, you
get the biggest raindrops in the world. I remember that on the southern Oregon coast.
Yeah, lots of rain there. So how long, Denise, have you owned Non-Essentials here in Palmer?
Well, in Palmer, I've only been at it about, I guess it would be 18 years now.
Only.
But we had the business before this. It has quite a history. It started in Dillingham.
Okay.
When the fisheries was still really good.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, in a fishing communities. And then it kind of became a suitcase business. I continued to work in the medical field. I traveled as a physician assistant for many years.
Okay.
And I would take every opportunity. If there was a little craft show or an event, I always wanted to have a store.
Okay.
That was my life's dream.
Oh.
I grew up with a cannery store up the hill from where we were. And that was just such, in the spring when they would bring everything in, it was so exciting to have all that available suddenly.
Yeah.
So when we came to Palmer, I didn't have any natural connections here.
Okay.
And I needed to be with women because that's what you do when you're in the village.
Yeah.
And so it was a really lovely way to get to know this community and to get to be with women.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So the business has been in Palmer for 18 years.
I think it's been 18. David from the Fireside Books, I always had to try to figure out who started.
Okay.
I know I was a full year after him.
Okay. And it's been in a couple of different locations since I've been here. I can recall that. I can recall shopping Non-Essentials when it was down by Pizza Delphi, right?
Four locations in Palmer and the Cottonwood Creek Mall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And so, Denise, people, you'd have to be kind of living under a rock to not know about Non-Essentials, but there might be somebody listening who's never been there before. So tell folks, where is Non-Essentials? Where can we find you?
We're right next to Fireside Books across from the little train in downtown Palmer.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long have you been at that location?
I think maybe 7 years.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. And one of the things that you're known for, and one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the show, is your sincere commitment to carrying local products, whether that's local food, local art, local gifts, etc. But, if you want to find a locally made, locally sourced gift, I think Non-Essentials is the place in Palmer to find it. So lots of credit to you for doing that and showcasing so many different people's products. We're appreciative that you do that.
Well, as a business owner, it's pretty lovely to live in a community and in a state where so many really quality products are produced.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we really do have some of the finest artists.
Yeah.
People who make wonderful food products.
Absolutely.
Even the more recent things that we're getting now, the kelp pickles out of Sitka, right. The salt that's coming from a couple of different sites.
Yeah.
They're unique. They're beautifully packaged. There's real consideration going into what people are doing.
Yeah. And that's been a big, I mean, I have been in Palmer since 2005, so 13 years, and I feel like there's been a tremendous increase in the number of particularly value-added food products produced in Alaska. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would, and last week we got the newest and most, I thought it was a wonderful new addition to the line. We now have carrots that are freeze-dried for animals.
Yeah. And Glacier Bites, right?
Yes, Glacier Bites.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful, beautifully packaged. I mean,
yep,
you know,
really
it could
good.
Be anywhere. It could. That's always been one of the things is you want to have products that you can mix and mingle with products that come from Europe or
sure.
that come from Lower 48. And the one thing that I'm most impressed by with the food products in particular is that the quality of labeling, the choice of packaging materials has been really
It's really
excellent.
Improved in the last 10 years, I would say, too. Some of those early pioneers in Alaskan food products and value-added products, they left a little to be desired in the packaging and the labeling. But the stuff you see now, you know, when you mentioned Glacier Bites, I first saw them, I think it was actually a Facebook post. And my first inclination, because of the packaging, and this is the truth, is that it was an outside product that someone was trying to make look Alaskan because it was so well done.
Hmm.
I didn't assume that it was actually an Alaskan product. And then Bruce Bush and Christy were on the show last week, and they were telling us about, you know, they're also carrying the product, and they were telling us about the carrots and the process and the whole nine yards. So I was really impressed that it's really an Alaskan product.
Well, my son stood and ate a half a package of them the other day, so I'm convinced that they're a pretty good product.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, my dog, as much farm traveling that we do and as many farms as we get to go to, the office dog does not like carrots.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but I haven't offered him these freeze-dried carrots yet, but he's not interested in carrots.
Well, I thought it was hysterical that a kid would stand and eat them because they're... It says right on them what they
right.
are.
Dog snacks, right? Yeah, well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Denise Statz from Non-Essentials here in Palmer. Denise, do you guys have an online presence at all, a website or any of that nonsense?
Well, we do.
Okay.
We do have a lovely website,
okay.
actually, that was created right here in town. Margaret
oh, okay. Perfect.
Built it for us.
Yeah.
I have to be very honest. I'm not very skilled in that arena.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work to keep a website up and running.
Well, and you have to kind of be able to remember the steps of how to get
exactly.
into the back portion of it.
Yeah.
We do have a beautiful website. We do use Facebook a lot.
You do,
actually,
yep.
for... advertising events and just kind of talking about what's going on and
store announcements, sales,
exactly.
things like that.
I think that a younger, more competent or technically competent person would probably make better use of the website.
Yeah. And is the website there just for folks to get a little taste about what you carry in the shop, or can people actually shop through the website? I have to admit, I haven't been to your website.
It's not designed with the shopping cart.
Okay.
On purpose, because I just didn't know how I would manage all
Absolutely.
Of that additional
yeah.
Effort. But it is a lovely way to be able to see some of the things that we carry and to get kind of some insight into what the goals
yeah.
of the shop are.
Okay. Very good. So a couple of unfair questions, just curious things about the store. Do you have any idea, Denise, how many local vendors you source from?
Well, if you included everything, including cards and art,
you're supporting a lot of small businesses.
Yes, and we are. And I would say now, Amy, it's probably in excess of 35, and that doesn't include the stuff that's in the freezer or in the that we use for baking.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because we do use, for example, Vanderweil's wheat when we can.
Yep.
So I'm not including those things, but we certainly have more than 35 products that are just local.
Yeah. You have a whole wall.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. That's really highlights the local products, right?
Yes. And the best part about it is that many of those products, we were permitted to be the first people to have them commercially
very good.
Available. And so they're longstanding relationships.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's everything from the, you know, birch syrup caramels. I just think in my head of the things that I regularly come into the store for because I know that you'll have them. The Mosquito Mama.
Oh, you know, the balsamic.
Oh my gosh, those are so good.
That's our number one selling product and has been for many, many years since the day she went commercial.
Wow. And how long has that been?
Oh my gosh, I was still doing Friday Fling.
Oh, okay.
So it's been, it been 12 years maybe?
Yeah, incredible
or
product.
More. And I've packed that product hither and thither over the years, and it remains our number one selling product. We've got, as I said, salts and mustards and meat, and we've got syrups and honey, and we've got...
Chugach chocolates.
Chugach chocolate.
Kelp pickles.
Spinners made out of birch.
Birch bowls, pottery.
Yep.
You've just got all...
Beadwork.
Yep.
Ivory, a little bit of ivory work.
Yeah.
Quite a few cards.
Yep. And then outside of the realm of local, I would think that you've got to be the largest purveyor of, like, teas. If a person is looking for a specialty tea, you've got to be the best selection of that in town, if not in the valley, right?
Oh, I think we're one of the two top in the state at this point. Yeah, we have a lot of variety, but that stems largely from the fact that we have such a diverse community. People demand a really wide array of teas. And the nice thing about tea is that you don't have to buy enormous volumes of it.
Right.
You can have a small amount of tea.
Yeah.
I always credit Tiny DePriest. When I first opened the shop, she came in and took a look around and said, don't ever let the shelves be empty. People in Palmer don't want to be fooled that it's a store. They want to believe it's a store.
Okay.
And
good piece of advice.
Yeah, for many years, my husband has been perhaps less fond of her as a result because I've kept the shelves pretty full.
Yeah.
I'd like to give her credit for that.
Yeah. Well, because it's on everybody's mind, you know, we just had this big monstrous earthquake not too long ago. We're still having some aftershocks. Did that have a big impact in the store?
You know, Amy, it did. And I'll tell you how we decided to deal with it. That morning, I happened to be sitting at Vagabond Blues. I think it was just before sort of the regular crowd came in. I had come down early. My son was going to work. And when we kind of came out of the building with the first big shake, all I could think of is I knew I had two kids in high rises in Anchorage.
Oh.
And I thought, regardless of what happens, if my kids contact me, I'm not going to say one negative thing.
Sure.
And within 20 minutes, I'd heard from both my kids.
Okay.
So yeah, stuff broke, but it was stuff. And
yeah.
I can't believe how fortunate we were. I every day I hear people say that.
Yeah.
That we just are so lucky.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. We're all, as you said, we're all very, very lucky across the state that, you know, no one was hurt, things like that. And I'm glad that the shop didn't take too big of a hit. Let's move on, because the time goes by so quickly. Let's move on to you and Lauren's kind of farmstead and the development of that side of your business. So did you always know that you were going to have, you know, some animals? And
oh,
did you always plan to be a farmer?
No, far from it. In fact, I was I always loved living out. I like being, you know, kind of a subsistence lifestyle, but very much an Alaskan subsistence lifestyle. But my husband was born and raised in Wisconsin and always wanted to have animals. He loves raising animals.
Okay.
He enjoys, and I know you know that background.
Yeah.
He really loves the process.
Yeah.
And Lauren takes very seriously what animals eat.
Sure.
In terms of what he's producing. And so when he began to investigate these Mangalitsa pigs and the Tamworth pigs, that became his goal.
Okay.
And it's taken him about 5 years to really put it together.
Yeah.
You know, he still depends on the egg sales for really to stabilize things.
Yeah.
But more and more the pigs are becoming central to what he's doing.
Yeah.
He also has three A2A2 cows.
Okay.
Well, I guess two of them are A2A2.
Yeah. And tell people what that means
for
those that don't know.
It's a protein that I don't really understand, but he understands. And apparently, many people who are intolerant of milk can drink that milk.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also some considerations. I guess it's overall, it's just digested a little differently.
Right. Yep.
And he has a group of people who, you know, because in Alaska you can't sell milk. Right. You have to have shares.
Milk shares, correct.
And so the shares have gone mostly to people who have children who need it.
Sure.
And then a lot of the food that he sells goes to people who don't want to have any soy or corn in their diet.
Okay, very good.
And that's really his focus. I have to be honest, I'm a sideliner on this thing. I help him as much as I can, but I'm scared of the pigs.
Oh, okay.
I think the calves are really cute, but I keep bringing more calves home, and he's pretty much sick of that. We're not an adoption agency, is what he told me one day. So it's growing. It's a very slow process, as
sure.
you well know. We're lucky to be able to participate in the market in Anchorage, the South Anchorage Farmers Market, which gives us a really good outlet for that product.
Absolutely. Yeah. Denise, I'm going to interrupt you real quick for another reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Denise Statz from Non-Essentials Next Door, the lovely little store here in Palmer. And does the farm have a name? What's the farm's name, Denise?
Red Feather Farm.
Red Feather Farm. Okay. And what does that stem from?
Just because Lauren's one of those guys that if he has one kind of animal, it's one kind of animal.
Okay.
So everything's very matched. He has all red birds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all of his chickens have to be one kind. I would like to have a flock of very diverse, bright little birds, you know. Some with tiny, tiny eggs. Not practical.
No.
I'm anything but practical where that's concerned.
Well, it's an interesting blend with, you know, someone who's trying to commercially raise, you know, animals in that way. And then you with your creative outlet that I'm sure the store provides where you can have all the different things, all the non-essentials, right?
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more in terms of acres. How many acres do you guys have and numbers of animals and things like that?
Well, you know, we sit on 40 acres, but the truth is it's very little of it is really useful.
Sure.
Because we live kind of on a hilly up by Sutton.
Okay.
We look right at Wishbone Hill, so we're in a pretty hilly area. But gradually, he's clearing pasture. The one thing about those pigs is that they're super efficient animals.
Yeah.
They love to graze.
Yep.
And they will root out, lift trees.
Right.
By rooting around. He has a lot of chickens. Sometimes he's had as many as 300 chickens.
Wow.
Sometimes he has 100 chickens.
That's a lot of birds.
Yeah. And then in the summer, I like to have the ones that are outside to raise, just to raise for meat birds.
Yeah.
And we have three pretty little little cows.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole stack of, we don't count them, but I have a whole stack of little steers that are not very, they're not an efficient thing to have, really.
Right.
But I do particularly love the meat that we derive from them. It's just so delicious.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you. I've never been a hamburger person.
Okay.
Raised on caribou mostly.
Yeah.
But this meat is beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're dairy calves.
Right.
So who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought you had to have an Angus cow to have good meat. Well,
sure.
That's just not true.
No. It's very dependent on what they're eating, and you guys are very particular about that, right? You said no corn and no soy on the farm?
Yeah, Lauren has been using a big garage that we have for a long time to sprout tons and tons of barley that comes out of Delta.
Yeah.
And then field peas.
Okay.
And then for efficiency, because what we discovered with our chickens, at least, was that they weren't eating all of the whole sprouted plant.
Yep, the grass part.
So what he does is he grinds that and then gives it to them in that format, and they're much more efficient with that. And then, it's just he has a thing going. I mean, I think it's a good thing. I think from the standpoint of the quality of food that's being produced, it's like so many people here. People put the extra effort into creating something that's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And
high quality.
It's very high quality.
Yep.
Exactly.
And I think, and you would have a good pulse on this with your shop and people asking questions, et cetera. But my perception is that Alaskans, and particularly folks in South Central, are really tuned in to where their food is coming from and starting to pay more attention, ask more questions, realize the health benefits of eating high quality local food, right?
I think that's very true. I see evidence of that. too, in just what happens when the pork, for example, leaves us. We have, I don't know if you know Marian Romano. She's a very, very talented chef.
Absolutely.
Really a brilliant woman. And I've been looking at images that she has on Facebook of the pancetta and the other fine products that she's producing from that pork.
Yeah, cured meats. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. Really,
yes, it is. Yeah. And I think that, that philosophy that you take something and you add to it and create something that's just the very best that you can is very much alive in the community.
Yeah. And so I've had Rain Reynolds on to talk about the Mangalitsa pigs before, but for folks that that don't know, I refer to them as woolly pigs, right? So do you have purebred Mangalitsas on the farm?
He has a purebred boar.
Okay.
And then his girls are all Tamworth Mangalitsa.
Cross.
Mm-hmm, cross.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that he likes the build. He likes the structure of the pig.
Yeah.
They're an interesting animal. These what are termed heritage animals are interesting in that they their meat is very different. It's a reddish meat,
right,
as opposed to white.
Right.
It's marbled, which is not something I had ever seen.
Yeah, particularly in pork. Yeah.
They are a lard pig,
right,
so they do put on fat, and that fat is fabulous.
Yeah.
Rendering that just gives you something that's almost unbelievable. And people are using those more traditional fats more.
I've heard from Rain when he was on the show. I remember him mentioning that for folks that have not cooked that kind of meat before, it's a new experience. Like you can cook, you can mess it up really easily because it's more delicate, and particularly because of the lard and the fat content. Have you experienced that?
Well, I think the only people that have told me that they had problems use too much heat.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, but I think that's true with a lot of cooking. People just
overdo
figure if
it.
They can get high heat, that's going to cut it. I think most meat likes to be treated a little more gently, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
And that is true.
Do you have meat for sale now if folks are interested in the products?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do they get in touch with you or Lauren to learn more about what products you have for sale?
Well, really the best way probably is either on Facebook with Non-Essentials.
Okay.
Or they can call. I don't know. Are we?
You're absolutely allowed to give your phone number if you'd like to.
745-2259 is our home number.
Okay.
And Lauren is much more knowledgeable than am I.
Sure.
But he's a little less available because he's pretty busy feeding pigs.
Yeah. Yeah. How many hogs do you have on the place now?
Well, far fewer than we did. We started out with 61 babies this spring.
And wow.
He's just delivered 12 now again today.
Okay.
So we're getting down there. There's not a lot of them.
Yeah. Are you just, it's harvest time, so to speak, and winter. So is he dropping the numbers so you don't have to carry as many animals through
absolutely.
The winter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the other thing is he takes these a little younger. You know, they typically will take a Mangalitsa, I think, to 12 or 15 months, and he's taking them 7 to 8 months.
Okay.
Just a little bit younger animal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Denise, one of the other questions I always like to make sure I ask my guests, and this is two-part for you because we've kind of talking about two different businesses, but put on your magic glasses or look into your crystal ball and tell me what you envision the business looking like 5 to 10 years from now. So start with Non-Essentials. Are you doing exactly what you want to do and it's right where you want it to be, or do you see it changing in the next, 5 to 10? What do you see?
Well, you know, this is evidence that you and I don't spend enough time together, Amy. January 1st, my business is not going to be mine anymore.
Yeah, well, I've heard about that, but I wasn't sure if it was, real, because that doesn't seem real to me.
Denise Nelson and her daughter, Heidi. Denise is part of the Hartley Motors family.
Yeah.
Old family. In fact, even before their time here in the Valley, her granddad was raised in Anchorage.
Okay.
They're going to take over the business,
okay,
and I'm going to maintain a small piece of it, the kitchen, so that we can continue to do the market, because we have to have a commercial kitchen for the market.
Yep. And by market, you're talking about South Anchorage Farmers Market.
Yeah. We really enjoy that one. And maybe other markets, since I will have more freedom.
Yeah.
So I think that initially the business will stay very much the way it is now.
Okay.
But I think they're going to bring some really nice, her daughter Heidi has worked in a fine tea shop in the lower 48.
Oh, okay.
Denise has retail experience. She ran a farmer's market. She has a lot of, she just brings some really lovely knowledge and goals to the business.
Different flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it, so I think it'll take on a really nice new, younger maybe, because, you know, the thing is, I grew old doing this. I started out young and I grew old. I think as far as the farm goes, I think Lauren will, I'm actually very optimistic about Lauren's future with this. He loves what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's very dedicated. And I think that over time, he'll get this herd right where he wants it to be.
Yeah.
And I think as people become more experienced with high-quality meat, as you described,
right,
and we learn more of what's possible in terms of the smoking and that sort of thing that can be done here locally, I think that he will continue to do what he is really passionate about.
Yeah. Do you think that you'll become more involved with the farm and maybe get more types of chickens of different colors and things like that as you have more time?
I have a big goal of getting a lot of calves.
Oh, okay.
And I have a lot of calves.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I might have divorce papers too, though, because he's not big on these calves coming home.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, so beyond January 1st, is there going to be a different way to contact you in particular when Denise takes over non-essentials? If folks are looking for Red Feather Farm, are they going to need to look for you somewhere else?
Well, The home number, the 745-2259, will always be a good number.
Okay.
And I think the great thing about Denise is because we're going to be sharing space and the kitchen will be ours, we'll still be available through non-essentials for a while.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I think it will be strange to go into non-essentials and not see you there, but I'm sure it's going to be a great new addition to Palmer. So I'm glad to hear that it will be sticking around.
Super delighted to have a young local woman.
Yeah,
doing this.
That's amazing because I think all of us would be crushed if it had to go away. So, Denise, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Ag Matters this morning. It's been a pleasure to learn a little bit more about non-essentials and about Red Feather Farm. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
You bet. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.